101, the recently released track from the Monkees' latest, newest album, released in June this year, You Bring the Summer. Yes, I know Davy Jones is no longer there, but Mickey DeLenn's Peter Chalk.
Wow, the Monkees. Yeah. I thought I misheard you there for a moment when you said the Monkees.
Philip, could I possibly tell an untruth to the voice who says...
The Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM. A 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Of course not, Philip. You know, it's...
That sounds remarkably like me. Well, good grief.
This is why, you know, voiceover artist extraordinaire, producer...
Extraordinaire.
And indeed, keeping your science fiction credentials to the fore. Not only was it Graham Harper who first put us both in touch back in the 80s... You were on
indeed.
Star Cops and Doctor Who as well, so...
Indeed, yes, absolutely. And I think something else, the Sarah
Bergerac.
Jane...
Sarah Jane Chronicles, Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yes.
Just astounding. I'm just sort of saying that because we, as well as Katie Doyle in the studio, we have the wonderful David J. Howe, the ace author and editor, George Mann. Not just Doctor Who.
Greetings all. Greetings all.
Hello.
And Sam Stone as well. I think you've spoken to David and Sam before.
I believe so.
We've talked loosely about the summer music paradigm. Great Yorkshire show. It's fabulous. I'll be there again tomorrow. And in addition to that, you can listen to some of our output on the breakfast show for tomorrow's Midweek Drive Morning Edition. But inspiration and the curiosity gene. Inspiration and the curiosity. I mean, George, we come to you first. What inspires you to write either Victorian fantasy, Doctor Who? It's a, I mean, you could say the paycheck, but, you know.
that'd be very cynical.
Death motivation there is.
Oh, blimey, that's a difficult one. I write because I can't not write, actually. I turn into a grumpy sod if I don't get to sit and write regularly. Sam's nodding here as well. Yeah,
I'm the same. I'm exactly the same.
It's
exactly 100% with you. Yeah,
yeah. It's just something I wake up every day and it's the first thing I think about and it's the last thing I think about when I go to sleep. It's just part of who I am. Now you mentioned, you know, Victorian fantasy and things like that. Well, there are different things that have triggered me to want to write in those genres. Mm. So, you know,
living in Darlington, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something
like
in that. but that's kind of popular culture and other things I've enjoyed, things like, you know, classic episodes of Doctor Who, where I've gone, that's stayed with me and inspired me to want to write specifics. But actually, I think there's something underneath that makes me a writer. I don't know if I could put my finger on exactly what that is, actually.
It's that weird sort of urgency, isn't it, to tell a story? I don't know what it comes from, you know, but it is, isn't it? It's just, you just want to tell stories to people. It's what you want to entertain and engage people and sometimes make them think, and maybe there's a bit of vanity there as well, a bit of hubris, I don't know, but... Yeah, that's how I feel too. I'm exactly the same. I wake up in the morning thinking, that scene I did just earlier on, that's not really coming together. I just did a bit this afternoon on a script which I've already pitched and sent to production companies. And I changed the whole great scene this afternoon. It's been nagging on my brain, sort of cooking away in the background, you know. But yeah, but funny enough, you talk about Victorian fantasies. I'm just writing yet another Dracula story now. So script. So I've got the bare bones.
When a nice touch there, you know, as long as you've got a stake in it as well. As we see from the IMDb magical site, Philip Hurdwood is an actor and writer known for Educating Rita. Classic.
Oh, a long that's time a ago. Brilliant.
He was Tiger. In fact, Lewis Gilbert liked Philip Hurdwood so much, this director of You Only Live Twice and many a Bond movie decided to give Tiger more time in the movie.
He did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I kept on pitching up. He said, you say that line. Now you can say that, so you can do that scene. And it was like, thank you very much. It was meant to be like 2 days' work, and we just got on so well. But that's, I tell you, that is a lifetime ago.
It's the last century, Philip. You know, never mind.
It is so last
an American, century. An American Haunting. And, of course, Doctor Who Music of the Spheres.
Indeed, yeah. But you know what? I think I said the last time I was with you guys that... I did a film with my daughter a couple of years, and my daughter's an actress.
That'd be
as well.
Rachel Hurdwood from Perfume, of course.
The very same.
Really?
They always like them all. And so she's really doing very well. And anyway, she was in Spain doing a picture, a post-apocalyptic survival movie.
Dorian Gray. Peter Pan, offers Wendy Rowan, who worked her way through that whole process, and indeed something which I'm sure the Stone Tapes might well be featuring in the not-too-distant future, which was Solomon Kane.
Anyway, so she was over in Spain doing, and she was doing the rehearsals and learning stunts and all that kind of stuff and going through the script, which has been a translation from Catalonian into English, and she was kind of trying to kind of make that a bit more speakable as a translation. Anyway, she phoned me up one day, and cut the long story short, she phoned me up and said, "Dad, I've got two bits of news for you, good and bad." I said, "Well, give me the bad news first." She said, "I've got laryngitis, and we start shooting tomorrow."
Nice.
So I said, right. So we had all this kind of conversation about drinking plenty of water and antibiotics and the whole thing. And then I said, "Well, listen, look after yourself, sweetheart. Let me know how you are." And then I said, "Oh, you mentioned there was some good news." She said, "Yes, they want you to come out and play my dad in this film."
That's basic, Philip. What's the point of having children if they can't actually provide some sort of surgeon if you actually take part?
And they looked around for all sorts of different. They auditioned loads of actors, and nobody quite kind of clicked. Nobody kind of quite sort of fitted the bill somehow. Looked like her, or sounded like they could be her dad, and all that. Anyway, and I found myself about a week or 10 days later by the side of this beautiful lake in Catalonia, at about 7 a.m, looking at my daughter, surrounded by a huge film crew with cranes and clapper loaders and people on walkie-talkies and the usual thing. I'm thinking this has to be the most bizarre work experience I've ever had in all my life. You know, pretending to be my daughter's father is, like, bizarre to start with. But it was wonderful. I loved it. I really loved it. So I think the film should be getting a release at some point. It looks very handsome, and it's a good tale. And hopefully it'll get a wider release sometime in the next year or so.
The magic,
you know what it's like,
the
distribution.
Don't get me started on that. I mean, there's a regular co-presenter from America called Josh, who does all sorts of... And it's fair to say, sometimes, Sam, we think, are movies coming out? When they're coming out? It's all very, very... It's the industry.
Well, this is it. You never can tell. You never know. It's just such a hit and miss. I mean, you know, it is a business, and it's kind of a lot of sharks in it and all that, which is why I've kind of drifted, if you like, to working in European films. And I was in Bucharest about 3 weeks ago pitching an idea to... pitching a film script, two film scripts actually, two production companies out there, and I now have a creative partnership with three other people, two Romanians and two, myself and a guy based in Amsterdam, and we have a little creative partnership, and we want to write and develop and produce films for the Romanian and slightly wider European market.
Philip, surely that'll have to all end once Article 50 is pressed. You'll just have to ignore all those Europeans and then just sort of do something completely different. Only kidding.
Well, no, I want to work with European films, so that's
good
the way
heavens.
I like to tell stories. That's the way I like to tell stories. You know, I like that lovely way of telling stories there, that are sort of, they're not in that Hollywood kind of, you know, the absolutely rigid kind of format of writing films. And they all kind of have that generic feel from them these days. And I like the more quirky kind of stuff that doesn't necessarily subscribe to all the rules. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're working on. And we've done one, which is... we've written one, complete one now, which is... we have a lot of faith in, and we
Philip,
hope that...
we're already looking to do fantastic things with Lily Holloman and Phil Leonis with their movie The Lady Killers, which is, I think, very much in that quirky sort of theme that's put out there. I think we obviously need to be promoting this one as well. But George, from what Philip's been saying, does that kind of resonate with yourself? Because I know, in terms of getting commissions and getting contacts and working through that, sometimes that left-field pitch can be quite interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've worked with big publishers from America and Britain, and smaller publishers, and it's really interesting to see the difference. You know, once the marketing machines kick in, particularly, you know, the bigger publishers have a big reach, but they also have a very rigid way of doing things,
and you tend
to get a lot more kind of specific attention from smaller or independent publishers as well. So. I'm a big fan of actually dipping my toe in both things at once as best I can.
Keeping the creative juices flowing, that's important.
Well, I quite agree, George. I think that's absolutely very sound. That's very sound indeed. You know, obviously, one likes the paychecks from the big films and the big kind of, you know, LA pictures.
But every so often, doing a midweek drive, it helps keep the soul pure, doesn't it, really?
well, or something. No, but I mean, I do like the European way of telling stories, and that's my sort of thing. And you know, we're going to try. We keep our fingers crossed. I shall keep you informed.
I would hope so, because as I say, it's critical from that point of view. Clearly, Katie Dorr will probably be the subject of another batch of Philip Hurdwood legendary idents, which will be coming through in the not too distant future. So yeah, work on that.
Indeed.
Basis. I mean, I don't know if you want to do have a quick chat with Katie, kind of get a sense of,
yes,
of the
I'd
characters.
Love to, yeah.
So, you know, any questions you want to put to her, Philip?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Well, off you go, then.
I'd like to put to you.
Yeah, yes. Headphones are set.
Are you kind of responsible for the jingles and idents and stuff? I mean, do you sort of work on those?
No. I'll give you a bit of background. Katie actually works as the PA. That's personal assistant. Not to be confused with broadcast assistant, to the head of the School of English and Journalism, Professor Jason Whittaker.
But why did you precede my introduction by saying that I was doing the station idents?
I thought it was left field. I thought it might lead to some lead to some synergy and so on.
You have to take European film.
It clearly did. I'm all over the place now. My brain is exploding. But no, I mean, so you're the PA to somebody who runs the school, the language school, yeah. Yes, that is correct.
Well, we're getting there. Not quite right.
You said it was...
We're in the ballpark.
You don't do station idents then at all?
No, they don't let me know the technology.
No.
But do you think it might be time to cross over in that synergistic way that Alex is suggesting? It might work. You never know. Or not.
But apparently it was Professor Whittaker who was in charge of Operation Golden Day on Doctor Who back in the John Pertwee years.
You know, this is...
So he's going to roll time back to a golden age.
Wow, that
Jason's
kept
very quiet.
I didn't know that. Wow, Katie,
I'm getting quite excited. I can sense the storyline, can't you, George?
Absolutely.
Worry not.
In fact, I can even sniff a BAFTA already, even at this early stage.
It's just extraordinary. And to just round it off, I'm going to ask Katie to put those legendary questions, which, of course, started before Katie was actually born with us, Philip, in that room covered in Dulwich.
Do them in the style of a voiceover artist.
We've been doing this for what, since about 1984 or something.
Indeed, so indeed, and we're still looking to get it right. But you know, we'll keep there. You know, it's important.
Practice makes perfect. Yes. Let's face it. You know,
go, Katie.
Philip, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, thank you, Katie. And as always, far too short. And I'd love to have chatted away for a long time. And in fact, next time, Alex has been threatening to have me up there in the studio for quite a while now. Yeah. But I would like very much to come up and see you all.
Because let's face it, Little London is not a million miles away from Little Lincoln, is it?
That is
tenuous, but very true.
Plotline to the latest George Mann and Sam Stone novelisation. It's a secret. It's not a secret to say, formerly our ace correspondent from Osaka, Japan, now back in the British Isles doing wonderful things with his family and indeed the joys of Derby University, of Derby. Keith Tainton, welcome back, Keith.
Hello. Nice to be back.
Keith, of course, Katie, important historical note for Siren here. Keith was the very first breakfast co-presenter in the early incarnation of Siren FM when it was based in Hull.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. And old-timer.
Oh, yeah,
but
at least, Keith, we haven't reached the stage of having spittoons in the corner of the studio and saying, you young peps, you don't know what you're doing. Ba-ding. Many's the time in the Stone Tapes I've been tempted to do that, but I've stepped aside. I've held back because, you know, saliva, it can be messy. Not good. It's not good. So, Keith, as you haven't been able to catch the programme as yet, so clearly you just have to wait for the podcast to be released fairly soon, we have legendary Sunday Times best-selling author, comic writer and editor George Mann in the studio.
Hello there.
Hello, George.
Who, amongst other things, has edited a number of anthologies, including Encounters of Sherlock Holmes, Further Encounters of Sherlock Holmes. I see what you did there, George.
Yeah.
I like
clever,
that.
Isn't it?
It's very good. In fact, I might suggest it to Professor Richard Hand when I see him in Wales in a few weeks. So suggest that. The Solaris Book of New Science Fiction and the Solaris Book of New Fantasy, as well as, of course, back in the Sherlock Holmes routine, titles that you've written for Titan Books, Sherlock Holmes, : The Will of the Dead,
yeah,
and Sherlock Holmes, : The Spirit Box.
Particularly like the way you said : there.
That's what Lambda training does for you, George. You know, it's one of those skill sets that emerges. Keith will attest to this because I used to play Keith Big Finish Doctor Who stories when I used to drive him from Hull to Lincoln and back again. In fact, Keith actually said, you've even got a blue car as well. Hello in those days.
And it makes a wheezing, groaning sound as it drives.
I didn't call it Bessie, though, because it wasn't yellow. Sam Stone also with us, of course, ace author. Sam, share with us some of the fantastic novels and aspects that you've produced over the years.
How long have you got? Well, I've got a Vampire Gene series, so Killing Kiss, Futile Flame, Demon Dance, and titles of alliteration.
Exactly.
And the Jinx Chronicles, is Jinx Magic.
The Cat Lightfoot series, my own personal favourite. Excellent stuff.
Zombies at Tiffany's being the first one.
Zombies at Tiffany's, it could almost have been some of Keith's former students. Extraordinary. A message I'll put across to Gay Lofthouse, another one of our times. But we're not here, as the listener would say, to reminisce about old times. We leave that to the weather show on Siren. Moving on to Katie Dorr. Any questions for Keith, as somebody who can actually tell you the real history of the University of Humberside that sort of emerges into the University of Lincoln?
Well, I'm just, you know, intrigued. You were here in the early days, and has it changed much, do you think?
I haven't been back to Lincoln for a good, I'm going to say, 15 years, actually. But I was there during the whole move down from Humberside, you know, and Hull down to Lincoln, and... That was definitely a huge change. I understand that the campus has expanded quite significantly in the last few years as well. Is that true? Or is the science
expanded,
as well,
Keith? As Katie would say, you can barely swing a cat should you wish to do so these days. There's the Isaac Newton building going up. There's, you know, getting a car parking space. It's a case of, if you're not here by 6:30 a.m. in the morning, forget it. It's extraordinary. Sorry, Katie, it was your response to that.
I quite like that the Isaac Newton building's going up when, of course, he's all about gravity.
You
see, I saw what you did there.
Gravity's another station, it's a community station somewhere based near the sort of southern part of the country.
Oh, is it?
Welcome, Patricia. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad.
Excellent. Eagerly looking forward, Keith, to hearing Patricia's latest review that will be coming through in the Stone Tape. So I tease ahead to this, where Patricia will actually be introducing the fabulous world of... What will she be introducing, David?
It's a TV show,
Exactly. Yes, marvellous. Because I've realised we've changed the format, because George actually sort of launches that.
He does.
Crime writing.
Slightly, okay. Yes.
So that's a tease ahead. The show itself will go out in 2 weeks' time.
So, Keith, what computer stuff do you do? Web designer, it says here.
That's slightly outdated, actually. I'm actually, my job at the moment is supporting some media systems at the University of Derby, so I'm kind of still got my hand in a little bit there, but not really any web design anymore. I put together the first Siren website, and I'm glad to say that that's changed quite significantly, and the new one is really rather splendid. So it's good to see that... it's getting better.
Our
all the time,
baby,
so.
Our broadcasting child, has actually developed. Of course, Keith, as I say, I can only talk about virtual children. You in Thor, I'll say that again. Yes. Thor actually Thor, have a real
yeah.
child. Yes.
That's quite surprising, isn't it? So, he's actually back in Japan at the moment, so they're there till September, so I'm home alone now. So
Keith, if anything, this show is and should be available on the NHS to actually help people who are on their own, that we can connect together, you know, and share that sort of notion, particularly if you've got children called Thor.
Yeah. Isn't that Southside Radio for that? Well,
Southside Radio. Yeah, exactly. Nice touch, though. I see what you did there.
Boom.
One, a radio station based in a university, another one based at an NHS hospital. Extraordinary. Sam, any questions?
No.
Well, I've got a question here. Coming back to programming and doing web design stuff.
He's got some expertise in this field, it has to be said.
I have. I'm a computer, or used to be a computer programmer as well. And when we would write our programs, we'd always put interesting comments in, you know, to sort of narrate how the program actually was supposed
don't
to
work.
Don't
want to get him started on King.
I just wondered if you'd include comments. Anything of any great interest in anything that you'd done, like on the Siren website or whatever.
No, I mean, that was hand-coded in Notepad.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's slightly different from the beast they've got these days, to be honest. I have no idea about, you know, CSS and all these other sort of mad things they've got going on, but I'm really impressed with the technology. Actually, it's really making the web look really totally amazing and much more interactive and usable. So, but yeah, back in the old days, eh?
Although it can go a bit mad when it takes, like, you know, 20 minutes to actually load a web page because it's got so many adverts and videos and goodness knows what on it. It's just absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
Not good web design, I think.
Not at all, and to be honest with you, I mean, from the stats we're seeing as well, mobile is gone absolutely bonkers. So if you're not designing, you know, sites that will fit on a small screen, then you're really kind of getting yourself out the...
It's all about the portability, Keith.
Really, if you can't
tiny screen, you've got to work through that. I say, you want to listen to Siren? Use the TuneIn app. It works, honestly. I use it myself.
Yeah, but I tried to go on the website and listen to it on my phone. It didn't work, so I'm like, ooh.
You need the app.
Yeah. I don't do apps, I'm afraid. Everyone at the moment at work is like Pokemon Go.
I was just going to say, are you trying to catch Pokemon then? Like the rest of the world.
These are extraordinary times, certainly, we live in. Extraordinary times.
Even Sam's trying to catch Pokemon. She's doing it now. She's trying to catch Pokemon.
I bet there's Pokemon. A few in here
there's
as well.
There's probably some in here.
I thought the show wasn't that boring, Sam, but never mind. We'll ramp it up. That's the important thing. Katie, there are certain things that Keith expects as mandatory before we actually go over to the editor of Starburst magazine, Jordan Rice, and they remain those last two interrogatives.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I would say it's been very nice today. Thank you very much, yes.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Well. I should hope so, Keith.
It's been about 15 years.
Exactly. You know, there's only a certain amount of time before we connect in all sorts of ways. Possibly to be doing as the summer metamorphoses into autumn and so on and so forth. The great news is that something really, really spectacular is happening between Friday the 26th through to Sunday the 28th of August 2016 in Manchester. Yes, it's the Starburst International Film Festival. And to address that, we're delighted to be able to welcome the genius guru behind not only ace columns such as It's Only a Movie in the aforementioned Starburst magazine, the world's longest running magazine of cult entertainment, but indeed the main man himself, in many ways, the Stan Lee of Starburst. It's Jordan Rice. How are you, Jordan?
Oh, great. I'm glad to be on your show.
Well, it's delightful to connect with your good self. It seems like only yesterday I was with Emma Tinson and we were in the hallowed halls of the Starburst offices, and there you are in full force, and I finally saw the significance of the Man from U.N.C.L.E. poster that is actually opposite your desk. It's wondrous.
Indeed. I remember it well.
Ah, there you go. Anyway, this particular event, I mean, it really looks as though it's every movie follower's dream, and heaven, particularly if you're interested in genre entertainment. The Manchester Metropolitan University Students' Union Complex, and a wonderful sort of event, the Starburst. It's the first ever Starburst International Film Festival.
There was one in 1980, but it wasn't an international one, and it was a very localised one. It was down in London, and I just thought it'd be good to kick it up a gear. And with the magazine doing so well over the last 3 or 4 years, we were making a big push with our column Independence Day to push independent movies. And I was initially thinking we could do something that will help that and galvanise it and do an awards ceremony. And then it grew from there. It became a small event that we were going to do this year. And then the influence from other people was that a lot of people would get on board if we did something slightly bigger. And it's difficult on the bank holiday weekend we wanted to put it on to find the right location, the right venue. And that's where this synergy between the magazine and actually finding and managing to get the correct place, which is the Manchester Metropolitan Students' Union Complex. I can't praise that place enough and the staff there. It's incredible.
Well, clearly I'm going to be biased and say, well, there's always Lincoln University as well. We're available too. But at the same time, yes, quite rightly so too. The great thing about this is every year we focus on what Louis Savvy does with Sci-Fi London and the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. Mm. But what you seem to have got here is kind of it's more than just a film festival, because you've got some great movies, great images, but you've got some fantastic guests as well.
We've tried to cover everything. We've made it's a celebration of genre and television, and although it's an international film festival, we're covering a lot of television as well, because it cross-cuts now. I think we're in this golden age of television at the moment, and it'd be wrong to exclude all of that. And there's so many people that cross-cut between the two. They'll be writing for movies, and they'll also be doing television at the same time. So we're trying to do all of that, but it's very much an industry type of event where people will be coming, and it's not just passively sitting watching 13 films over 2 or 3 days. We've got people that are very, very much into the production side of it, not just a bunch of stars, because what I didn't want was one of these Comic-Cons where you go get spoon-fed a load of movies with a 20-minute gap in between, and then every now and again there's some signings. And I think that's not very entertaining, yeah. And it's good, and people collect them. But I wanted to show people the mechanics behind the cinema, the mechanics behind television. So that with the family day that we've got on Saturday, the idea is it's very interactive, and you'll get people bringing the children who might be 11, 12, 13. I'm hoping they're going to get the book. I'm hoping they're going to get involved, and when they grow up, get a bit older, get involved in cinema.
And that really is at the heart of the whole aspect, the inspirational philosophy that's there. I mean, just looking at some of the guests, you've got Peter Lamont, production designer, actually introducing and presenting Aliens.
Yeah.
You've got, obviously, the screening of the new episodes of Thunderbirds 1965. You know, so hats off, obviously, Jamie Anderson sort of well put together that, and, of course, the team. Eric Saywood from Doctor Who, who's there.
David Graham's going to be there as well, actually introducing those. And when you imagine the voice of Parker himself actually just chatting to people as they come on, I think that's going to be amazing.
It is. And you've got one of our regular weekly correspondents, actually, I see, getting together with Eric Saywood and Philip Martin. That, of course, is our good friend Graham Harper.
So, oh, yeah.
Sensational from that point of view. And live comment. It's like a DVD commentary, but live. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. You know?
This is what we wanted to bring, that interactive, where more than it's going to be 3 floors of entertainment, literally, where you'll be able to just cut and paste your own weekend from this. You'll be able to go and say, right, I'll watch 2 movies that are in the main hall, then I'm going to go to a workshop, I'm going to catch some Ray Harryhausen unseen footage. And you could just literally, literally 2 or 3 people can go and have a completely different weekend and hopefully still have an amazing time.
Wearing my academic hat, I'm particularly interested in the notion of adaptations and the fact you've got Christopher Priest, who's going to be talking about the adaptation of his novel The Prestige, obviously filmed by Christopher Nolan. That's going to be a fascinating insight.
It will be. It's things like that that we're trying to get curiosities. We were trying to not be too clever, because we didn't want to make it so it's that obscure and niche that people might be put off who maybe are slightly more mainstream in taste, but equally there's enough there that it's as niche as it needs to be, and it's as commercial as it needs to be. But one person that is going to be on who's a particular quest of mine to get him over here. I've been trying to get him over for ages, and his name's Peter Beale.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't know him. And he's the actual person that greenlit Star Wars. He's the politician, as it were, in 20th Century Fox who fought for it to be greenlit. And him, he did a deal with Dead Skin and allowed him to produce the first ever article on on it with exclusive photographs, which was Starburst issue number one.
And I remember it well. I'm sure it's tucked away somewhere along the whole base, but as one of the sort of the last century Starbursters who was actually there, I thought, yeah, fantastic. I noticed, though, one little lacuna that's there, no reappraisal of Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. You've axed that one. Oh, well, never mind. Just a thought.
Yeah.
I thought so. You know, we're going to work through that whole basis. How can people get in touch? How can people actually sign up, obviously, and register now for the Starburst International Film Festival? Because it's coming around very quickly, really. What's the best way to go? Is it best to go online and register there?
Yes, starburstfilmfest.co.uk. They're all available now at the moment. The pass is £75 for a pass for the whole weekend, three days. Plus, we've done an amazing deal for accommodation, which is £129 for three nights in like luxury accommodation right opposite the place. It's going to be like being on holiday for 3 days in the middle of Manchester with all the excitement going on.
Listen,
it's going to be really something.
Listening to this in the studio now, I'm fairly certain we've got Doctor Who comic writer George Mann, we'll have Sam Stone, we'll have David J. Howe from Telus Publications. I'm sure they'll be excited beyond belief by this particular thing. And you know you're on the right page with the Starburst International Film Festival because you've got the lovely graphic of Christopher Lee in a sort of Dracula pose, just sort of
So
looking pretty much probably like many people who actually saw Superman vs. Batman Dawn of Justice probably looked like after they saw it.
I would imagine so, yeah. And the thought of the we thought, well, shall we put the ultimate edition that's got the extra half hour on?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I can't do that for someone.
See, that's the reason which I know that John Brosnan will be delighted that the column is still in good hands, Jordan, from that perspective. Clearly, the world's longest-running magazine of cult entertainment, Starburst, is available. All sorts of goodies coming through with respect to that. But there's also the podcast, because I always find we do our midweek drives, obviously, on Wednesday between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. And then if people want even more goodness, and they sort of think, where can we go after Siren FM? They can obviously tune in live to the Starburst podcast as well, the Fab International Radio podcast, with your good self, Jordan.
That's correct. That's 9 o'clock every Wednesday. That's until 11 o'clock. And we try to cover everything in a nice, entertaining way. And it does get heated sometimes when I end up having my time wasted on some dreadful film that's cost $500 million to make.
There's either that, there's the Stephen Moffat era showrunner of Doctor Who. There's all sorts of don't get me started on Matt Lucas starring in the next series. It's just, who knows what can happen with that. But stop. We'll just step aside. You know, breathe. That's the important
thing.
Jordan, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I've enjoyed it greatly. Thank you for having me on.
So can we hopefully prevail upon your good self to join us again in the not-too-distant future? Obviously, your colleagues, of course, from the team, Ed Fortune, and indeed one of the ace Welsh correspondents who is a regular contributor to the Stone Tapes, Robin, is a sort of regular Starburster to take part in our shows. But will you return again and take part in the near future as well yourself?
Any time you need me, I'm here, just at the end of the fun.
John Royce, we salute you. And a reminder, it's starburstfilmfest.co.uk. Don't delay. Go there now. Manchester Students' Union, or rather the Manchester Metropolitan University Students' Union Complex, between the 26th and the 28th of August 2016. If nothing else, you can't say that we haven't provided you with lots of things to think about and do, you know, from conventions in Manchester, film festivals, through events in Whitby, through, of course, to The Stone Tapes Goes Live sometime in March or April next year. Don't worry, I'll hold fire at that, because, of course, David J. Howe, you've also written for Starburst magazine.
I have indeed, yes. I've written lots for Starburst magazine.
Exactly. See, all connected. And the brass plate, which has David J. Howe has written here, is still in the Manchester studios.
I'm sure it's been defaced by now,
but
yeah.
You never know. We're delighted now, beyond words, to be able to welcome to the next stage of the show the legend that is Lily Holliman. How are you, Lily?
Yes, I'm good.
Excellent.
I'm very good. I'm at the car wash right now.
Hey! Literally, Rose Ricing us with the car wash in Los Angeles.
Good
it's
Lord.
Just how wonderful. The excitement continues because, George, I'm going to actually hand over to you.
Oh, dear.
A bag.
Oh, okay.
Because it is actually almost a year since Katie Dore started her first midweek drive routine. And although she might still say, but of course I got that, I'm a doctor. I'm going to ask you to formally, in your capacity as a Doctor Who soul, when Lily Holliman says, go now, present it, use those terms or vary to present Katie with her official gift for doing a year's worth of midweek drives in various ways and her first location report. So, Lily, whenever you want to say those words, please feel free to do so.
You want me to say what words exactly?
When do you think in that car wash in LA it would be appropriate? And I mean, what would Scott Bakula say in this? You know, where would it be appropriate to present on a live radio show with about 18 minutes to go Katie Dore's official gift from the midweek drive?
I'm very impressed, Lily, though. I mean, I've got this mental image of you standing there with a wet sponge in each hand, you know, cleaning a car in the middle of the scorching night, is it, in LA? I don't know what time.
It's morning in LA.
In the middle of the scorching sun, you know, happily, you know, cleaning cars with a squeegee. And, I'm very impressed.
Acting.
It's all about multitasking.
It's brilliant.
You know?
Exactly.
We all got to have our side jobs.
Yeah. It's that multitasking that's working there. So, really, with a matter of seconds, I mean, if it helps, Lily, at all, you know, we'll give you a little bit of a musical sort of routine to actually just, you know, so there, in the background there, the original sort of disco theme to, obviously, all car washes, particularly Los Angeles. So when you feel the need, you know, when you feel Katie is ready to receive, then you can actually say that George can pass the present. So take it away, Lily.
You can pass the present.
Hey!
Pass the present.
There we go.
Oh, so there we are, and hopefully, Katie, you can actually. So we talked about this on the midweek on the Stone Tapes. I say did a full feature on the whole system, but here we are, your full unmitigated 500th anniversary package of Indeed a magazine, which also, David, you've written for extensively.
Yes. That's signed by me in that very issue.
You see? There we are.
There is. Yes, indeed.
He might sign it for you, actually.
It's Doctor Who magazine, listener at home. That's fantastic.
That's very good. And in the Los Angeles car wash. Who would have thought we'd take this line when Phil Leonard said, I've got a meeting with the Breakfast Club. Lily will steppitize. And he's doing a fantastic job. Patricia, welcome to the show. Patricia Ash.
Hi.
I haven't had a chance to say anything other than a quick hello as yet.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a bit late. I'm a bit slow today.
It's a long journey from Texas to Lincoln. So.
Yeah, I was walking most of it. Hitchhiked a little bit. Got picked up by a really creepy dude.
That Rutger Hauer.
Really weird.
Fantastic.
These are the other crazy scenarios actually there. Lily, you probably haven't had a chance. Sorry, I was getting your sort of thoughts there in terms of the car wash, and let's just not go there because it's just not it's just not appropriate.
Phil will be having stern words with you.
It's red light
in
every sense of the word.
She's the one who says she's in a car wash.
You know what you started now, Miss Holliman. Please. Have you actually met Lily, by the way?
We didn't meet Lily when we met.
She wasn't present when you co-hosted for Chilpack Hollywood.
Chilpack Hollywood. No, we weren't. No.
Well, there we are. Well, since she was probably doing all sorts of wonderful sort of things, from State of the Union, from NCIS Los Angeles, New Orleans, and much, much more. But Lily, whom would you like to speak to in the team? You've got Sam Stone, you've got David J. Howe, you've got Patricia Ash, you've got George Mann, you've got Katie Dore. So who do you wish to go to then? I mean, that gives you Sherlock Holmes writers, Cat Lightfoot mystery writers, you've got Telos magazine publishers, you've got Gearheart steampunk review editors. Where do you want to go, Lily?
Let's talk to the present receiver, Katie Dore.
Hello.
And what would you like to ask her, Lily?
Well, so which title do you hold of that list, Katie?
I'm the none of the above. I'm the resident admin geek, I think, is my official title.
Well, you're PA to the head of the university.
No. Don't promote him too. He's a wonderful show. He'll be on the show back again in August, but he is the head of the School of English and German.
Oh, the School of the English and German.
Journalism.
Journalism. Oh, sorry.
I heard German
so,
as well.
So, Katie, you're celebrating a year, I understand.
I am indeed. Yes, it's been fab.
It's and so, in this year, what has been your favourite Alex memory?
Oh, gosh, so many Alex memories.
I'll come up with a good embarrassing one.
I like Alex's ability to tell it how it is, I think. It's,
yes. Yeah. Wow. Were you here when Alex was set fire to?
No, I wasn't. Was, what? We did have a fabulous magician and a magic show in the studio, and that was pretty incredible, I have to say. Flames were involved.
Magic on the radio, fantastic.
The personal fiery immolation of the right arm.
Wait, a magician? That sounds more like a pyromaniac. There's magic involved in setting someone on fire.
I think it was a stuntman, Lily, or something. Was it a stuntman, Alex?
It was indeed a stuntman, who you have indeed met.
We
called
did.
Ricky Ash.
That was him, Ricky Ash. Lovely. He was lovely, Ricky. Nice.
Inevitably, he'd worked with fire with a surname called Ash. So yeah.
he set fire to Alex. Because, you know, like
you can,
happens.
You can still see the photographs on Facebook, indeed. Yeah, but that's quite enough of that. We did that in the first hour, so you know, listen back to the podcast if you wish.
So, what are you working on at the moment, Lily? Apart from a car?
At the moment, we're doing some. Actually, Phil and I are putting together a slideshow presentation of our road trip across country to present at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club on July 27th.
Wow!
In the morning. At our regular meeting, 7 to 9 a.m. And, you know, I have these memories of my parents going on trips and inviting their friends over and showing slides and talking about it. And, you know, Facebook just doesn't have the same effect. I like the kind of theater aspect, the community gathering of sharing one's tales from the road. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're putting that together, and that's going to be fun. And we're also, I'm also producing a jazz show for the Breakfast Club on July 31st. That's going to be a Sunday evening.
Gosh. Nice.
With a local crooner who's been around for many, many years, Lori Donato. She's a very talented jazz and American songbook songstress. So. Lots of good stuff happening at the 91-year-old Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
Sounds great. Now, the other thing I need to know is last time we were on the show, I remember you were very, very concerned about a small visitor that you had in your house.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Emilio Lizardo.
Yes, that's the fella. Yeah. And I just wondered how he was doing. And, you know,
have you sent him back across the border?
Has he been deported?
I have to tell you, it's quite amazing because now every time Phil and I go out for a hike, it's like we're greeted by every lizard possible. I think the word got out that we are friends of the lizard.
And that's not a Mr. Connors, in case you're wondering. I mean, I know George would obviously appreciate Mr. Connors. Was it Connors, the alter ego of the lizard in Spider-Man?
Kurt Connors,
exactly. Connors, sorry, yeah. I was just pulling that out.
Absolutely,
that was a bit on left field.
So that European film again.
Yes, yes.
Always important to actually sort of work through that whole process. Lily, looking at your intro on Facebook, which we regularly do, not in a scary way, don't worry, it's always good. A tiny massless packet of energy that moves in waves through the vacuum of space. What led you to put that as a quote in terms of your introduction? A tiny, massless packet of energy that moves in waves through the vacuum of space.
I saw that as a definition of, I believe, because it's been many years, an ion. Yes. And I thought it described me very well.
Oh, I was going to say, is that the Holliman particle that they discovered the other year?
Yeah. Often confused with the Higgs boson particle.
Often confused, yes, absolutely.
The Holliman particle.
Mm. Yes.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why within 7,200 seconds of broadcasting joy, we've put together the Curiosity Gene. I rest my case, Your Honour. Patricia, have you got any questions you want to put to Lily about life in the car wash, general acting wonderment, the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, or anything else?
Well, I'm just wondering what sort of lizard the
What was his name? Emilio
Emilio Lizardo.
Exactly. Emilio Lizardo. What was he?
He was indeed a lizard.
He's sort of your standard lizard, and you make a good point. I should look up what the exact term is, but this is a really good size, at least a 6-inch long lizard.
Sort of the standard.
And he appeared. Yeah. Yeah, and he appeared in our third floor apartment that has no balcony.
That's impressive.
And screens on the windows. And apparently our neighbor had seen this guy in the hallway, and she put out a piece of celery for him to imbibe on, which, as you know, that's not what lizards eat. They eat bugs. So they can
unless, of course, he was a Time Lord lizard.
I was going to say he's protecting him from particular gases in the Praxis spectrum.
So true.
Yeah. Right, sorry, where did that come from?
But, you know,
there is the
I think
the
he
lizard.
Got wind that Fuzz Aldrin was a friend to fellow creatures.
Exactly.
Not a threat whatsoever. Yeah. Yeah. So he came to check us out.
So he doesn't look like a gecko or anything. I'm wondering how he got to the third floor. That's really
elevator,
impressive.
Elevator, presumably.
Well, the lift, you know.
Exactly.
Well, he can't
or the stairs, you know.
He's
like
one of the great mysteries of life.
He could be a secret super-powered lizard and actually have sort of levitated.
Yes.
Levitated.
That would also explain why all the lizards come and visit you now, because
well, I'm also,
that was Lizard Jesus.
I'm suddenly a little bit concerned because ever since we've had you on the show, Lily, and you're now with a lizard, and Phil is mysteriously absent.
Oh, come now. Please.
So has Phil somehow transformed into this lizard?
Uh-oh.
Is this what's
honestly,
happened here?
How inappropriate.
I mean, how else would the lizard get into the locked apartment? I mean, come on, George, crime. How, I mean, you know.
It'd be perfect to lock through a mystery, wouldn't it?
Exactly,
like
exactly. And what was it Sherlock Holmes said? Once you have discounted everything that is impossible, improbable, what is left, no matter how improbable, is the truth.
Yeah.
So
I do hope, Lily, that you appreciate the significance of where we've moved cosmically in terms of this transatlantic relationship we've built up with your good self over the years. Because, you know, significant, you know, Phil and the lizard.
I would say that...
have we ever seen them in the same room together?
Closer to the truth than we really are.
Oh!
At which point, I think it only behoves us to actually say, as it's your first show, George, would you like to select a number between 2 and 26, please?
21.
Okay. Well, the universe has brought this magical word. It's like Chinese fortune cookies, but a whole new empire.
To set the record straight, however cool you think it might be to have an out-of-body experience floating over your house, flying through space, traversing the past, present, and future, let me tell you, it'll never be as cool as being in the one you now have. Walking barefoot in the grass, floating on the sun-drenched pool, or dancing alone in the dark. You so fly the universe. Trust me, from here, getting into body is considered the most sacred of all sacreds.
And technically, of course, we have been out of body as the way radio waves have been transmitted through the ether, really. You know, it's like the idiot's lantern all over again, really.
That was very deep.
I was thinking, where's the sun-drenched pool?
Where's
the car
wash?
It's in LA.
It's not here. That's where it's raining.
And I was just wondering there as well, is transformation into lizard what happens if you bombard something with Holloman particles?
Could be.
Kate, oh, sorry, Lily, I know. It's even beyond the mortal ken of man. Some things we're just not meant to know. Katie, would you like to put those last two questions to Lily Holloman, please?
Lily, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today from the car wash?
It's been uproarious. My car is clean.
Yes.
And will you be joining
just
us again?
Feeling good about it.
Will you be joining us again
of course.
Soon?
Anytime, please.
A round of applause for Lily Holloman, please. It's not easy having to step in to fill the inners, or being green for that matter. Oh no, that's Kermit the Frog. It's fantastic. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Jim McLaughlin, William Coles, Philip Hurdwood, Keith Tainton, Jordan Royce, and Lily Holliman. And in the studio, of course, Patricia Ash, to David J. Howe, to Sam Stone. George, have you enjoyed your first official two-hour Media Drive?
Yeah, very much so.
And obviously, some of us are going on to do another little shift with the Stone Tapes, so that's all great. I just press a few buttons. Will you return again?
Of course.
Excellent. Patricia, have you been happy with your segments that you've taken part in?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Sam?
No.
That's all right.
Of course I have.
Some people go Brexit, some people so remain. I don't know. David?
I've had a fabulous time. I'm sorry that I have dragged this discussion off topic into levels of surreality previously unknown.
It's Phil Learness's lawyers you have to deal with. So just step aside from that point.
Well, I will tell you that Phil's friends like to call him the James Bond of shamanic realms.
Nice.
Like so that. His transformation into a lizard is not far off.
Oh, sweet.
It's a spirit guide. Casey, you've enjoyed your programme.
It's been fab as always.
Back again very soon.
I think so.
That's it then. We're out of here. News and then all sorts of magical music will be happening as far as Siren FM is actually concerned, Lincoln's first community radio station. All we need to say now, George, is farewell, au revoir, adieu, or simply goodbye. So a one, a two, a three.
Goodbye.
Adieu.